I'm going to read some verses from Isaiah 53, starting at verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before them like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and was held in low esteem, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Like I've already said this evening, these are words that the thief dying on the cross could say. These are words that the centurion who nailed Jesus to the cross could say. And these are words that we can say. He was crushed for us. He was bruised for us. He paid the punishment that we deserve. But the joy we have as Christians in knowing that it didn't end there. It didn't end with a crucified Saviour on a cross. It ended with a risen Saviour on the throne. We know this evening that our Saviour is seated on the throne in heaven, and one day he will return to bring all of those who have their trust in him home. So let's stand and sing our next song. He was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And as we sing these words, let's remember what those sufferings paid for. Let's stand and sing together. Michael is going to be speaking to us this evening, carrying on his series in Acts. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles once again to Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, that's page 1101 in the Church Bibles. That's Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, page 1101. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kendrake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Tazoa and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Well, please turn back in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, the beginning of verse 26 this evening, as Evan said earlier on. We're on page 1101. The title for our sermon this evening is, "What Can Stand in My Way?" What can stand in my way? As we prepare then to listen to what God has to say to us from this passage, let's pray. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Father, we thank you for these precious words about the Lord Jesus. We pray this evening that our minds might be fixed on him. We pray that we'd be thrilled with him and the salvation that he offers. And we pray you would forgive us for taking these things for granted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it happens all the time, doesn't it, in life? We get so used to things, we begin to take them for granted in all sorts of ways. Something which, to start out, we really appreciated, something we really valued, we just become used to it. We forget how amazing it is. Rachel and I spent time, as you know, in Indonesia recently, and I guess we became very clear there are many things about life in the UK that we certainly take for granted. Some are very silly things. Going along to KFC, as one does from time to time, and ordering a nice piece of chicken without it being totally, and I mean totally, doused in hot chili sauce. That's what happens in Indonesia. It doesn't happen in England. What else do we take for granted? Being able to eat bread and not rice 3 times a day. Some safety things we take for granted here in the UK. Having pavements on the side of the road. You can walk along the road without having to mingle with the traffic. Linking to what Anne said earlier on, there's water that you can drink from the tap when you turn it on. And I guess there are other, I guess, more serious things we take for granted as well about life in the UK, Rachel and myself. Just being able to talk to people and being understood. Being able to joke with friends who get your sense of humour straight away. And maybe those of you who are international students can relate to that in the opposite way, far from home here in the UK. You see, we can get so used to some things, can't we? We forget how amazing they are. We just take them for granted. And it's not just things we take for granted, is it? Not just stuff. I'm sure we've all had the experience of being taken for granted ourselves, haven't we? Because people can be taken for granted, can't they? You know how it is. You've gone above and beyond the call of duty at work, but it never gets acknowledged by the boss. You know, he or she just piles more pressure on. Or you've helped someone out financially, not for the first time. There's never a word of thanks for what you've done for them. Or maybe you've changed your plans for that family member time after time, but they just don't even seem to notice. It's not pleasant, is it, when you're taken for granted like that? You just kind of feel used, don't you? Well, friends, our passage today forces us to ask a very uncomfortable question, which is this: are you taking someone for granted? And not just anyone. Have you begun to take for granted the most precious person and the most precious gift that this world has ever known? We're going to dive into our passage this evening and see why that question arises. We're in Acts chapter 8. Hopefully you remember from last time that we're in a part of the book of Acts here where we see the gospel is clearly on the move. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus had promised the gospel would go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And we saw last week, didn't we, the great ethnic barriers between Jews and Samaritans, those barriers of hostility and enmity and suspicion that gone on down through all the generations. Those barriers were no barrier at all, were they, to the gospel making progress across those ethnic divides, because we saw the gospel itself can break those barriers down. And today in our passage in the second half of Acts chapter 8, we see that the gospel goes on making progress geographically. You might have noticed as we read the passage earlier on that there are loads of different places mentioned in these 15 verses or so. It's another sign that the gospel is on the move, a reminder that Jesus is at work to fulfill everything he's promised about repentance and the forgiveness of sins being preached to all nations. Verse 26, for example, we're told about a road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. God is at work there. We see in verse 27, we're told about a man who comes from Africa, the Ethiopian eunuch. God's at work in his life. We read in verse 40 that Philip preaches in all the towns around the area of Azotus. That is one of the old Philistine strongholds. God's at work there. The gospel's on the move here in the book of Acts. But what particularly is happening in our passage for this evening as we pick things up in verse 26? Well, let's take a look at the detail. We see Philip being sent by God to this desert road, because on that road, Philip is to meet this Ethiopian eunuch and share with him the good news about Jesus. What do we know about these two men? Well, Philip, we've seen, haven't we, back in chapter 6, he was one of those people full of the spirit and wisdom that the apostles appointed to wait on the tables of the widows. He's mentioned also, isn't he, there in chapter 8. He's one of those believers who scattered in connection with the persecution of Stephen. And he goes preaching the gospel in Samaria. He's a man, it seems, who walks in step with the Spirit. He listens to God's voice. Have a look at verse 26. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to that chariot. Here then is this man Philip, this evangelist. He's sent by God himself to meet this man on the road to Gaza. And who is this man? Well, again, we find out about him in our passage. Look at verse 27. So he, that is Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. I mean, this is an important man we're talking about here. It's Ethiopian Chancellor of the Exchequer, if you like. Yet, you know, he stands in great contrast, this man, to the chap we thought about last week, Simon the Sorcerer, from the first half of chapter 8. You see, this important man, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's not full of his own importance. Have a look at verse 27. And verse 28, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Here's a really sincere man. He's travelled miles to worship up in Jerusalem. He's searching the scriptures to find out the truth about God. And then Philip, in verse 30, asks him a very interesting question. Do you understand what you're reading? Now again, this Ethiopian eunuch is obviously a knowledgeable bloke. You don't become the Chancellor of the Exchequer, do you? Unless you're a knowledgeable man. He's a knowledgeable man, but he doesn't know it all. Verse 31, how can I understand, he said, unless someone explains it to me? Further down in verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, having read out from the book of Isaiah, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Here then is this knowledgeable man who is full of questions. Look what happens in verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It's wonderful. This Ethiopian guy, miles from home, hears the message of salvation through Jesus. The gospel is making progress again. We get to verse 36. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? What can stand in the way? Now, if you've been around church for any time, maybe you hear a question like that and you think, well, nothing really, just get on with it, no big deal. Or if you're new to Christian things, perhaps you think, well, look, if that's what he wants in life, you go for it. I mean, if you want it, you can have it. All of which brings us back to how we started out this evening. Can I ask you, what do you make of the statement from the Ethiopian eunuch there in verse 36? What can stand in the way of my being baptized? I want to say, if that statement does not absolutely amaze us, then perhaps we've started to take the Saviour Jesus and the salvation he offers for granted. And perhaps we need to rediscover what a precious and amazing and a wonderful Saviour he really is. Which I hope is what we're going to do this evening. We live in a culture, don't we, where we're told we can have absolutely anything. That everything is within our reach. Everything is possible. If you dream big dreams, well, they can come true. If you work hard enough, you can have that thing that you want. Perhaps that way of thinking is epitomised by the advertising slogan that Adidas ran for a number of years, where they said, "Impossible is nothing." Of course, we know what they're getting at with that slogan. In a sense, it's quite inspirational. There are loads of things that we can do if only we'll put our mind to it and have a go. It's inspiring, yet in reality, of course, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it? Because at times, impossible can be everything. Because there are some things that no matter how much we dream about them, no matter how much we want them, no matter how hard we try to grab hold of them, they just remain elusive. They're out of reach. They're impossible to get hold of. There are some things we just can't do. And so here's this Ethiopian eunuch on the road in the deserts, and he says, "What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" You know, before this Ethiopian eunuch met Philip and heard the message about Jesus, there were plenty of things that stood in his way. Plenty of things. For a start, he was a eunuch. That is, he'd been castrated, it seems. And that didn't just have social consequences for this man. No, you read in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, it had spiritual consequences. You don't need to turn there, but Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1 says the following. "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." You see, it was all very well for this man to travel miles and miles and miles on this long journey to Jerusalem, but the reality is when he got to the temple there, he'd have been excluded from worship in the temple. What can stand in his way? Not only was he a eunuch, he was an Ethiopian, a black African. He was a foreigner, a Gentile, regarded by the Jews as someone on the outside of God's kingdom. What could stand in his way? And of course he would have discovered, wouldn't he, as Philip opened the scriptures there in the book of Isaiah, that he was a sinner. He was someone who, like a sheep, had gone astray. He'd wandered off from the living God. He'd broken God's commands. He'd lived for himself. What could stand in his way? Well, before the Ethiopian heard the message of Jesus, there were plenty of things that stood in the way of this sinful Gentile eunuch. And so what of us? What can stand in the way for us of a right relationship with God? What can stand in the way of us being forgiven, of being saved? You know, the Bible says the reality is this, that without coming to Jesus, there are plenty of things that stand in your way. If you read on in the book of Isaiah from the passage that's quoted there in Acts chapter 8, you come to Isaiah 59. I want you to turn there with me, please. It's on page 747. We ask the question, what can stand in your way? Read from Isaiah 59 and verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things." What can stand in your way of being saved? What can stand in the way of you being forgiven? The Bible says your sin stands in the way. And the Bible says your guilt stands in the way. And the Bible says your separation from God stands in the way. And when it comes to these things, impossible is everything. Because the Bible says there is nothing you can do to sort out those problems on your own. That the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so, says Paul in the book of Romans. Friend, have you been taking Jesus for granted? Maybe you're a Christian and you've forgotten the position that you were in before you were saved. It was an impossible situation. Forgiveness, salvation, reconciliation with God, a new heart, eternal life, hope for the future. Those things were all totally out of your reach before you met Jesus. Perhaps you've become so familiar with the salvation that Jesus offers, it's just no big deal to you anymore. Maybe you're even thinking, well, you know, I'm better than most people, so I kind of deserved it anyway. Have you been taking Jesus for granted? Or maybe you're not a Christian. You're like one of the lads I was at uni with. He was called Guy. He was really familiar with Christian things. He was brought up going along to church. He said he knew it was all true, but he wouldn't believe it quite yet. Now, there were too many things he wanted to experience in life. Maybe when he was older, he turned to Jesus. But of course, unless something dramatic changed in his life, he'd do no such thing because there were things that stood in his way. He was taking Jesus for granted. Maybe you are too. My friend, you see that when it comes to salvation, impossible is absolutely everything. So we praise God that Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. You know, we've talked about the two men in the passage this evening, but as you read these verses again and again, you soon see that neither of these people is the key player in the story. Flip back with me to Acts and chapter 8, page 1101. You see, the main character of the story here in Acts chapter 8 is neither Philip nor the Ethiopian eunuch. It's God himself. In verse 26, God sends out Philip onto the Gaza road. Verse 27, God arranges for Philip to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. In verses 32 and 33, we see that God is the one who's prepared the message because God has already sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. We pick things up in verse 32. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who's the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. About Jesus, who is described as the Lamb of God. Jesus, described in the book of Isaiah as the one who was slain. Jesus, the one on whom God laid the iniquity of us all. Jesus, the one who would justify many and bring us back to God. And notice, please, will you, in verse 35, that we're told that Philip began with that passage of scripture as he explained the good news about Jesus. Implication is he went further. You know, you read on in the book of Isaiah and you come to chapter 56, a passage which for this Ethiopian eunuch would have explained the consequences of Jesus' work for the things that stood in his way. Again, I want you to turn, please, to Isaiah 56. We're on page 744. And as you read this passage, which is a remarkable passage, I want you to bear in mind that until this man met Jesus, he could not enter into relationship with God because he was a eunuch. He was a foreigner. He was a sinner. He was excluded from that relationship. Isaiah 56, reading from verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered. Friends, that is why a foreign, sinful eunuch could see the water at the side of the road and could stop the carriage and say, what can stand in the way of my being baptized? Answer now, nothing. Because God, through his Son Jesus, had made it possible for every barrier to be removed. Can you imagine being the eunuch listening to those words from Isaiah chapter 56? Every reason he'd been excluded before, blown away through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 38, back in Acts chapter 8, we see this man, now a believer in the Lord Jesus, now included, with nothing standing in his way, going down into the water to be baptized. Verse 40, he goes on his way rejoicing. He's a saved man. So friends, what can stand in your way of being forgiven, of being saved, being baptized? We heard earlier that until you come to Jesus, your sin stands in the way. Until you come to Jesus, your guilt, it stands in the way. Until you come to Jesus, your separation from God, it stands in the way. Yet through his death on the cross, Jesus himself can blow those barriers away. In the book of Isaiah, we read that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, so our sin can be forgiven. In the book of Isaiah, we read that by his death, Jesus justified many, so our guilt can be dealt with and removed. In the book of Isaiah, we read that God is gathering people from every nation to himself, so you can be included in that great number. Through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus, God has done everything so that you might be saved. My friend, don't take this gift for granted. Don't take God's Son for granted. Don't think it a small thing that you can be saved. Come to him. Confess your sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, like the Ethiopian eunuch and countless millions right around this world, you too can be saved. You who now are excluded can be included. And you can go on your way this very evening, rejoicing, knowing that nothing stands in your way. Let's pray. Father, we want to praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that so many things stood in the way of us and you, our sin, our guilt, our separation from you. Lord, we know that we could do nothing to deal with those problems. Lord, we recognize that impossible is everything when it comes to salvation. And so we praise you for the message we've heard this evening of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your work in the life of the Ethiopian eunuch. We thank you that all of those things which stood in the way of him coming into a relationship with the living God were blown away through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray this evening you'd forgive us for taking for granted the salvation that's ours for those of us who are already Christians. And we pray for those among us here this evening who have yet to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray they listen to his voice. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen.